This is Jennifer Pepito with the Radical Radiant Show.
Hey friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited to welcome my new friend, Jennifer Pepito, to the show today to talk all about her newest book, Habits for a Sacred Home, 9 Practices from History to Anchor and Restore Modern Families. You're going to be so encouraged by Jennifer's advice and wisdom for us today, and I think this book would be a great Easter gift, Mother's Day gift. So even if you're not a parent, this conversation is for you. We all have a home, and this is a great resource to help us create a sacred home. And I just am excited to introduce you to her. So help me welcome our new friend, Jennifer, to the show. Jennifer, I am so excited to welcome you to Radical Radiance. Thanks for being here today.
I'm so excited to chat with you today, Rebecca.
Me too. It's always fun to meet a new friend, and I love the topic of your newest book, so I'm super excited to dig into that today. It's called Habits for a Sacred Home, 9 Practices from History to Anchor and Restore Modern Families. And I always love asking authors just kind of the story behind the message of a book, and I just think this topic's really interesting. So I would love to hear how you got there, a little bit of the journey.
Yeah. You know, I have been a mom for a long time. My oldest daughter is 30 years old. And a big part of my journey as a mom involved having really good habits in our home. But I still had this big battle with fear. And so my first book, Mothering by the Book, is all about how I worked through those fears and some of the dysregulation that came from that. But as I looked around me at culture and society, I also got really alarmed at the way, you know, maybe almost being too tuned into our emotions and not enough tuned into just like some basic rules of civility in a way, mm-hmm. have caused our society to some degree to fall apart. And I live in California, so obviously it's all a lot more dramatic here. You know, there's sure. people living in tents on the side of the road, and people, you know, anywhere I drive in my city, I see homeless people sprawled on the side of the road. It's very heartbreaking to see yeah. culture denigrate in some ways. And, you know, as I saw this, I some of the fears that I had overcome in the journey with my first book started to come back up, because I'm like, I've got to raise my kids in this world, and what's going to happen? But during that time, I started researching Saint Benedict, who was a founder of a monastery back in like 600 AD. And he wrote a rule for life that became sort of a guiding principle that carried those people through the dark ages. And as mm-hmm. I looked at the lives of even people like Edith Schaefer or Amy Carmichael, who also were living in, you know, post-war Europe or India, where they were selling children off to be sex slaves, it really gave me like a picture that, oh my gosh, there have been believers all throughout history who have kept a rule of life and kept doing the godly, righteous things. And whether they saved themselves, whether they saved their communities, or whether it was just that they stored up treasure in heaven, one way or the other, I wanted to highlight this principle of, we don't have to be afraid of the world around us. We can just keep doing the godly practices that Christians for thousands of years have been doing, you know, I mean, since Jesus, but even the Old Testament people, there were rules for living that God laid down that have preserved, you know. Think about the Jews. I mean, for millennia, they have preserved their culture through keeping a rule of life in a sense. And so I just felt like highlighting some of these, you know, habits for a sacred home were a way that as moms, we could gain more peace in our homes, because instead of looking at all of what's falling apart around us, we can just say, you know what, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And yeah. so there are, you know, some basic things that we can lay down as a, almost like a hedge, but also as a way to be a light in our community.
Radical Radiance is brought to you this month by Christian Standard Bible. Meet your new favorite Bible study companion, the Old and New Testament handbooks. These handbooks contain charts, maps, word studies, and more for each book of the Bible. They intersect beauty, goodness, and truth, and they're designed to last a lifetime as a valuable resource for Bible study, teaching, and ongoing discipleship. I know they are a resource I'll grab off my shelf while studying Scripture for years to come. Available in two different cover options for each, buy one, get one free at Lifeway.com with promo code HandbookBogo in all caps. That's Lifeway.com, promo code HandbookBogo. Now back to the show.
That's so good. That's so good. And I love how and I see this happen often. It's almost like you see a thread of like, oh, here's what some people over here were doing, and here's what was happening over here. And if I keep pulling and tugging on that thread, I begin to see, oh, this is actually a way that we could live in a more intentional way. And I love seeing that happen with books, and I definitely see that here. And one of the things you talk about is how we can push back the chaos that we experience a little bit. And you've kind of alluded to this, but what does it look like to push back the chaos and kind of find our own rhythm in our home and our families? And why is that important?
Yeah, I love that question so much. I actually have a community of moms. We're called the Restoration Home Community. And each month we focus on a couple of the habits from the book. Like this month, we're working through the habit of work, which goes along with chapter 2 in Habits for a Sacred Home. And so the moms are, they have to do like a 15-minute declutter every day. And moms are reporting back that they're spending less money because they're realizing all of the things that they have, or their husbands are noticing how much more peaceful the home is. And so I think we don't even recognize how these little small movements, this 1% improvement in our home, can create more peace and create more of a feeling of refuge. You know, and so for us, I mean, highlighting little practices like praying with your family or reading the Bible together, or embracing work instead of feeling like you're victimized by work, or having a community, developing really intentional relationships with people. So, you know, in some ways they're really basic Christian practices, but I think that when we look at the way they were displayed in the lives of some of these, you know, women of faith, we can see, oh my goodness, like they didn't think they were going to be heroes. They didn't think there were going to be books written about them. They were just faithfully doing what God called them to do, and they changed the world. And so I think that as mothers, we shouldn't underestimate the power that we have to change the world just by being faithful in the little things.
Yeah, that's so good. Is there one of those, I don't know, habits that in your own family, if I say this question, like which one has made the biggest impact on you? What's your like knee-jerk answer to that?
For sure.
Immediately comes to mind. Yeah.
Prayer for sure. 100% comes to mind as the first, yeah. You know, prayer is so regulating. Like we hear a lot about dysregulation. I think that the, you know, whether it's environmental toxins or lifestyle or our phones, I don't know, but so many of us are really dealing with a lot of dysregulation and feeling anxious or feeling kind of just uncomfortable in our own skin. And yet prayer is this way of connecting with our Heavenly Father who loves us and who's the ever-present help in trouble. And so, you know, prayer, whether it's praying the Psalms or praying through the Lord's Prayer or reciting the Apostles' Creed, I feel like prayer has just been this hedge for our family that has helped us stay peaceful even when the world or our own family life sometimes is chaotic.
Yeah, absolutely. You referred to this one phrase a minute ago of making our home a place of refuge. And I just wonder, will you talk a little bit more about what that means? How do we do that? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's such a concept that's so dear to my heart, because as you saw in the lives, you know, I read a book called Seeking God by Esther DeWall, and it was about St. Benedict. And it's like they were creating in the midst of absolute chaos. I mean, the barbarian hordes were running around, burning everything down. And in that chaotic season, they created these places where, you know, flowers were planted and bread was baked and there was just a sense of peace. And that is what we're cultivating in our homes. This sense that we are a refuge from the chaos and storms of life. And so, you know, partly that means you know, curating a family rule for yourself. And everybody doesn't have to do the same thing, but there are basic practices like eating dinner as a family or taking a walk in nature or praying together as a family daily. There's some really basic, simple, quick things that can accentuate that sense of peace in our homes and our lives.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. Something else that I know me and my husband are always thinking about, and I know is probably on a lot of people's minds when we're having this conversation about our home, is just kind of the culture of our family, right? And what we want that to be, what intentional steps do we need to take to get there? How do we cultivate that? And so how would you encourage listeners to establish a family culture?
You know, I think it really comes down to knowing who you are, because I think what happens, especially, you know, a lot of my community are homeschool moms. And I think sometimes we can see another family who's, you know, a CC memory master, and we're like, oh, maybe we should be that way. Or another family who's in travel baseball, and we're like, maybe we should be that way. But I think it's really important to actually understand who you are. And I have a workshop called the Peaceful Life Workshop that really kind of walks you through identifying, like, what did you enjoy doing when you were a kid? What do you want your family to be defined by? What do you want your children to remember about life in your home? Because we're all so different. And I've faced those feelings of inadequacy when looking at what other families are doing. Like, we, you know, we're very missions minded and we love simple living and togetherness. And so in some ways I'm not as ambitious. Like, I'm not training my children to be concert pianists, or there are a lot of things that we're not doing because we're focusing so hard on community and relationship and worshiping God. But that doesn't mean that we are inferior or that the concert pianist family is inferior. It just means that we've identified what's important to us and we're going after it. But I think what causes a lack of peace in our homes, and even a sense for our children of competition or inadequacy, is when we don't know what we're about and we don't know what our mission or calling is. And then we try to do everything. And that creates so much stress on ourselves and our children that creates disconnection.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder for the mom or even the wife that doesn't have children yet, as they're kind of taking inventory of their lives, as you describe that, there's probably some of us thinking like, oh, I didn't realize I didn't have to do that. I didn't realize my life didn't have to be filled with all of these things. I didn't realize I have a choice, right? Like, as we intentionally craft that for our family, I don't know, what encouragement would you give to the woman who's a little bit needing a permission slip to do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I think looking at women or mothers or families in history can be really helpful. You know, in my book, Mothering by the Book, I highlight the lives of several different women and the way that their experiences helped me overcome fear. And then in Habits for a Sacred Home, I highlight the lives of several different women of faith. And as I look at those women, and, you know, in some ways, for instance, Ma Ingalls, like, she raised Laura Ingalls Wilder, right? They lived a really hard scrabble life. They didn't have music lessons or barely even any education. Like, they only went to school for a few years out of the years of that she tells in her stories. Mm-hmm. And yet Laura wrote this book series that has become a beloved children's classic, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that we kind of underestimate what our kids could be gaining from the life that God has called us to. And I think that there needs to be a sense of diligence and excellence. And I'm not saying have a free pass to have no intentionality in your family life. What I am saying is that there are a lot of different ways to do family life and parenting really well and to prepare your children for life. And I think, you know, trying to just do everything that all your friends are doing is probably not going to result in peace. But instead, really asking the Lord, like, what is the calling you have for our family? Or identifying some of your own gifts and callings or some of your own interests, and then really bravely pressing into those are going to result in more kind of, I think, even excitement. Because the problem is, when we push down our own desire, our own loves, in order to like be, you know, keep up with the Joneses in a sense. Mm. I think we're actually kind of going against the grain in a sense that doesn't lead to that peace I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But when we make space for like, you know, as a mom, if you love gardening, like let your family be about gardening. And later on, if your children decide they can't stand gardening, they will have some work skills and some how to learn skills that will help them learn whatever they do want. But don't feel like you have to push down the God-given desires in your own heart to do this kind of keeping up with the Joneses thing. Just be diligent in what you're called to, and it will model for your children how to be diligent in what they're called to.
Mm, that's so good. That's so good. And everybody's going to have their own version of that, right? Like if you were to walk in our home most any time, what you're going to find is probably a craft project of some sort on both sides, me and my husband. My husband loves leather working. I love making polymer clay jewelry. We both have several hobbies like that where we just love to work with our hands, and we find it to be super restful to do that. And so it's just interesting to like talk to other friends where like the dynamic within their home just looks really different, where for us, you're probably going to walk in and hear music playing and or a movie on and see us like doing something restful with our hands. And so I don't know, it's just so interesting to think about how that plays out for different people.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, you're modeling that your interests matter and that it's okay to have interests. You're modeling a healthy acquisition of skills, you know? So there are so many things that as you pursue those hobbies that you're modeling for your children that are really beautiful, especially in a world where so many of us are just watching other people learn things online. Do you know what I mean? Like we're watching other people do things online instead of actually doing things ourselves.
Yes. That's so good. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Well, I am so excited about this book and just excited for listeners to get their hands on it. I'm going to say the title again. It is called Habits for a Sacred Home, 9 Practices from History to Anchor and Restore Modern Families. So here in a minute, I want you to share with people where they can grab it and all of those things. But there's one question that I ask all of my guests that come on the Radical Radiance podcast. Just really have a heart to help women see what it looks like to radiate the heart of Christ in everything we do, our life, our work, our relationships. And it goes back to this verse that God really put on my heart as I was naming the show. It's Psalm 34, verse 5. It says, "Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed." And so the question I love asking my guests is, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Oh, what a beautiful question. We were just having a missions meeting last night. My husband and I are going to Argentina in March on a mission trip. And we were actually choosing that verse because, you know, you think about like Moses, he wasn't such an amazing guy. He had a lot of fear, you know, but he went up on the mountain and just being with Jesus made him radiant. And I think that's something that we underestimate in our families is just the power of presence, like the power of just being with Jesus and the way that that can transform us and the way that we interact with our families, but also the power of just being together. You know, our children, they have questions. They're navigating life. And if we aren't slowing down enough to help them answer those questions, they might be it might be creating trauma. I'm reading a book called Four Habits of Joy-Filled Homes by Chris Corsi and Marcus Werner. And in the book, they talk about how there are the kinds of traumas of things that happen to us, bad things that happen to us. But there's also the trauma that happens when, you know, your parents are fighting and no one sits down and explains to you what's going on, or somebody bullies you and there's no adult present to comfort you after the fact. And so I think that a lot of the problems that our children are facing as adults could be alleviated if we stopped operating from a place of shame and trying to, you know, manipulate our families because we're afraid of being inadequate, and instead started looking to Jesus, being that kind of a present parent where our children, where there's space for our children to come to us and talk to us about the big issues of their lives.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. Well, I want you to share with everybody, where can they connect with you? Where can they grab the book? You've mentioned some of the other resources and things that you've created throughout the episode. So where can they get all of those things after they listen?
Yeah, if you go to habitsforasacredhome.com, we have some really sweet free gifts for people who order the book. So you can go to that page to learn more about that. That's habitsforasacredhome.com. And I also have homeschool curriculum at thepeacefulpress.shop, or you can follow me on Instagram at Jennifer Pepito.
Awesome. 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 Well, it has been so fun getting to know you. I love this book and just how it will equip people to restore modern families. And just the concept of it is so needed. And so I'm super excited about it and excited for our listeners to hear about it. So thanks for being with me today.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity to chat with you, Rebecca. It's been such a joy getting to know you.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Jennifer. Go grab a copy of Habits for a Sacred Home wherever you like to buy books. And I'm excited to be back with you next week for another amazing episode. If this episode encouraged you, would you consider sharing it with a friend? It really, really helps us get these episodes into the hands of more women who could use the encouragement and what it looks like to radiate the heart of Christ in all that we do in our life, work, and relationships. It would mean the world to me if you would share it. I can't wait to be back with you next week. Same time, same place. I can't wait to chat with you then.